Richard, before we ask for those...
Well, I was going to reconvene first. reconvene, that you have something on the
yes, hand. Yes, I forgot to hand up the minutes, especially when I said really that I was going to hand up.
Oh, yes.
So if I can formally withdraw the submissions pre-circulated, replace them with the ones just handed up, which, as I indicated earlier, add nothing, but I've got a third as long. So about two thirds have been deleted as a result of the agreement between the parties. And secondly, I seek to formally amend the evidence presented and circulated, prepared by Mr. Evans. We didn't do a cut and paste, it was a bit complicated, but we thought those attached plans would be useful, so I just withdraw anything to do with any aspect other than the language school, basically.
Right, thank you. Now, Ms. Jones, if you have the opportunity to...
very quickly, amongst other things, yeah. I wasn't sure, did you want me to cover off just the half a dozen points, that's over the whole block, or did you want me just to focus on
that's
the language
school? The language school.
Okay, so I'd like to, I guess, reserve leave to respond more fully and write a reply if necessary if anything more comes up. But as far as today is concerned, I remain of the view that the rolling height plan, the 12 metre permitted height above rolling ground level, is more appropriate. I absolutely understand what everyone's saying, but for reasons explained, perhaps I just had a quick look at Mr. Church's summary of evidence, and he has a paragraph on that point, and having considered the suggestion, and I have discussed it with him as well, and on balance, our preference is what is the revised version attached to the Section 42A report. Explain the reasons for the loan process.
We've discussed it over the afternoon, and we're prepared to indicate that unless the council's reply convinces us otherwise, we think that the proposal presented by Mr. Williams, which I understand is agreed to by Mr. Edmonds, is probably the more suitable for the language school site. So,
in relation to that one side,
We
can come back to you with more. Are there other submitters?
I don't think there are.
No, no.
Just to us. That will be something you will need to consider. Certainly on the evidence we've seen to date, that's our position. And Mr. Goldsmith, if there's amendments to Mr. Edmonds' evidence, just a simple thing would be to... Are the amendments set out in your submissions?
No, we didn't actually...
Didn't physically do it,
so
we just said...
When you read it, yes. Just write up the language school and forget the rest.
Right. That's fine. So I don't think we need to hear from Mr. Edmonds any further with his evidence. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you,
sir. Black would have arrived perfectly at the time when you expected to be there.
It's just the challenge of travelling here from Tiano these days, you never know how long it's going to take.
Yes.
It's better to get here earlier. Real Journeys Limited believes that Queenstown Bay and its waterfront are effectively the heart of Queenstown as recognised in the operative district plan. Queenstown Bay and the views offered from the bay are crucial to the vibrancy and attractiveness of Queenstown for residents and visitors alike. Moreover, the Queenstown waterfront subzone represents a limited resource. Consequently, we contend that Queenstown Bay needs to be managed prudently to ensure the qualities this area is valued for are not further eroded. Accordingly, we contend that an integrated approach needs to be taken to the management of the Queenstown waterfront subzone. Specifically, Real Journeys does not want to see the focus of the proposed district plan to be shore-based activities at the expense of water-based activities in Queenstown Bay. As stated in earlier hearings, because of the TSS Earnslaw's unique handling characteristics, Real Journeys is particularly concerned about ensuring that the operation of mainly the TSS Earnslaw is provided for and not compromised by future developments in Queenstown Bay. Therefore, Real Journeys wants to ensure that the proposed district plan provisions can address the resource management matters likely to be encountered in the Queenstown waterfront subzone in the future. Specifically, Real Journeys believes the proliferation of structures and occupation of space, including vessels on moorings in the lake between the town pier and Queenstown Gardens, could jeopardise the available sea room for vessel manoeuvring in Queenstown Bay. Accordingly, we believe Rule 12.4.8.1 should be expanded to name all structures and moorings and the associated occupation of water space between the town pier and Queenstown Gardens a non-complying activity. Moreover, Real Journeys supports Queenstown Wharves Limited assertion that there are three different areas within Queenstown waterfront subzone where different activities predominate, and the proposed district plan framework needs to adequately demarcate these areas and provide a differentiated rural framework to accommodate the different attributes of these three areas. Thus, Real Journeys also contends that the provisions of the proposed district plan should be amended to clarify the location of these three areas of the Queenstown waterfront subzone and the associated proposed district plan rules. In addition, we believe the proposed district plan objectives and policies need amendment to provide better direction to avoid the degradation of the values that underline the Queenstown waterfront subzone. With the proliferation of watercraft activities based in Queenstown waterfront subzone, we believe it is short-sighted to advocate for only one central boat refueling greywater and blackwater pumping facility in Queenstown Bay, because such activities are time-consuming and most vessel operators need to undertake these activities at a similar time, either early in the morning or in the evening. That is, one facility is likely to cause undue congestion.
Just on that last point, Ms. Blake, we heard evidence yesterday from Ms. Carter.
Yeah.
Making the same point about the limitations of one central refueling and pump out location. Where logically would you see any alternative in Queenstown Bay?
I think it's one of those things where you actually need to look at marine facilities in like Auckland and see how they're managed in other places. It's effectively like a petrol station where all the vessels coming to fuel up, but not only do they fuel up, but they're discharging sludge and getting water. So you've got three processes going on, and we prefer our launch masters to put their attention on fueling and not be pumping sewerage at the same time, so that they're done as discrete activities. So
you don't want either to spill.
Yes, or you don't want them to keep on pumping sewerage when the tank is dry, and then you burn the pump out.
I understand all those different things.
Yeah, or even putting water in where they put the hose in, turn it on, and it's busy overflowing. And at times of water restrictions, it's wasteful. So I think it's one of those things that we can actually learn from other areas in New Zealand where they have the same needs.
Is it?
And see how it's actually managed.
Well, there's the need, because I think, I take from your evidence that Sonoma Park to the town pier is the one area where all that activity should occur.
But yes.
Consistent with Ms. Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more a matter that it might need for the present amenities block, if we use that term, is to be, were to be expanded so that more vessels could be there at the same time, rather than trying to put another locate something else in that very compressed location that we have.
Yes, and it's whether also any like marina developments in Frankton Arm that there's these facilities go in there, so that where possible, operators can work out two areas. But also, so whether it's just the fact that the wharf is reticulated with services like water and sewage, and then you just have the fuel as the congestion point. It's when people attempt to do those three activities that with vessels, particularly if they've got galley facilities where they're generating a lot of grey water, you know, you're talking about for something like a fuel and class vessel, about 20 minutes for each of those fueling and pumping sludge, and water can, depending on how much you've used, and the pressure can take like 15 minutes or 10 minutes. But that's a lot of time.
If that sounds to me like 45 minutes to an hour.
Yes.
In total.
With the fuel element of the activity, do you have any issues about keeping all the fueling in one place as distinct from spreading it over a number of piers or wharves?
I still think you need the provision to have probably more than one fueling place. Whether you split out, I don't know how many of the jet boats are petrol and how many are diesel, whether you can split those. But from our experience in Deep Cove with the Meridian Wharf, where there is only one location where you can get fuel, and all the commercial vessels have a similar timetable, and it creates undue headaches for everybody.
I see.
And I would imagine with some of these jet boats that they'll have to be, the amount of fuel that they go through in a day is quite considerable compared to a slow cruising vessel where they can probably fuel every couple of days.
And switching topic to navigation lights.
Yes.
Is there, I was quite amazed at the photos in your principal evidence, particularly on a still calm night, and both the light effect and then the reflection effect.
Mm.
In terms of the actual navigation lights themselves, is there any options in that space about having you know, larger lights, a different coloured light? Or...
You're restricted to it, your red and green, right. But you can have them flashing so that it's showing up as different. But the thing also is you have other vessels present, and if they are cruising, they'll have their red and green light. Mm-hmm. It's just something, you know, it looks all very pretty, but it actually compromises your ability to navigate. And I'm not this familiar with navigating here, but I am on Otago Harbour, where you have the same issue coming in at night, and you've got a marked channel, mm-hmm. and tracking those lights, mm-hmm. and sure you can use radar, but you're primarily relying on your night vision to get it. So it's not only protecting the night sky, but it's also people's night vision.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's
okay.
So I'll adjourn until 1 p.m. on Monday.